Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we get into your word this evening, Father, we're asking for this place to be overflowing with the Holy Spirit, to spill out into this community, Heavenly Father, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that others, Father, that are in need of Him, will be able to see and understand that and find that light, Lord, the light of Jesus, to bring Him into their lives, Father, be forgiven for their sins, and walk upon that pathway of righteousness. Now be with us throughout the remainder of this evening, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Sister Millie, you coming?
There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name we love. There is healing in the name of Jesus. What a lovely, lovely name, the name I love. There is victory in the name of Jesus. There is victory in the name we love. There is victory in the name of Jesus. What a wonderful the name we love. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. There is salvation in the name we love. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. What a lovely, lovely name, the name we love. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name we love. There is power in the name of Jesus. What a lovely, lovely name, the name we love. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name we love. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. What a lovely, lovely name, the name of love. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name we love. There is healing in the name of Jesus. What a lovely, lovely name we love. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name we love. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. What a lovely, lovely name, the name of love.
Brother Bobby. Thank you, Sister Millie.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the empty dust serving a shame. And I love that old cross where despair ended. Oh, the world a lost sinner was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross. troublesome babe full of crown. All that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has wonders attraction for me, for their Lamb of God. Let his glory above to be buried to dark Calvary. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy death that I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and its sepulchre someday full of crown. In that old rugged cross stained with blood so divine, a wonders of beauty I see. Hold it on that old cross, Jesus suffered and died to be pardoned and planted with me. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies is as I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and the staple someday full of crown. To that old rugged cross I will ever be true. It's a shame for that he appeared and he called me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I share. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies as I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and the staple someday for the crown. If I walked in a pathway of beauty, if I worked to the close of the day, I shall see the great King in his beauty. When I'm gone the last mile of the way, when I'm gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joy that await me when I'm gone the last mile of the way. If bull cries a proclaim glad story, if I see cold sheep a going stray, I am sure he will show me his glory. When I'm gone the last mile of the way, when I'm gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joy that await me. When I'm gone the last mile of the way, give her claim of a dumber discern. Tears of sorrows are seen every day, but no sickness, no sighting forever. When I'm gone the last mile of the way, when I'm gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joy that await me when I'm gone the last mile of the way. And if I have early distress, I have tried to will all day. Weekly and bath are in raptors of heaven when I'm gone the last mile of the way. When I'm gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I'm gone the last mile of the way. When I'm gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I'm gone the last mile of the way.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Bonnie. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we give you praise today because we know, Heavenly Father, that you are worthy for all praise, all honor, and all glory. Now, Father, for this evening, I'm asking, Father, that you bring the anointing, that anointing of fire, Father, from the Holy Spirit to each one of us, to burn this word into our hearts, Father, so that we never forget them, and that it's always there for the Holy Spirit to use to help someone else along the way. Now, Father, be with us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know, I sorted through the book of Acts. Been a long time getting where I'm at because the Spirit takes me where he wants me to go. But we had finished with the 7th chapter of Acts. So I'm going to get in to the 8th chapter. How far, I don't know. But that's where we're going. We're going to start with that. All right. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, commuting them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. I'm going to stop there for just a moment, because you see, we have one here that in our ways of thinking should never have been an apostle because of all the things he had done. This lets us know just how much different the Lord Jesus Christ thinks than what mankind thinks and believes and looks to. Here this man was going into every house where they would be teaching on the name of Jesus and bringing both men and women back under arrest for imprisonment and death. And yet, he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord ended up making him the apostle over us. He is actually the apostle appointed over you and I, really, to this day. And he wrote most of the New Testament. A lot of people don't know these things. But you see, he was even given voice to the first deacon's death that was being killed by stoning. That's a hard way to die. You know, it was back in those days that the two most horrible ways of obtaining death was for that time. Stoning was one, and crucifixion was the other, because neither one happened instantly. And there was a lot of pain, tremendous pain, associated with each one of them. And that's why when we take communion, we are to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and what he went through so you and I could have eternal life in heaven instead of hell in that lake of fire. But you know, 430 years before the Lord Jesus Christ is born, we were being told about his birth, about his death, and about his life. Think about that. We pray today and ask God for answers for different questions we've got or for different things that we want. And if we don't get it right then, to us, he's not answering prayer. How about 430 years for your prayer to be answered? And the things you've been told, promises he's made to you, take 430 years for it to come about. And that's exactly what happened with Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, most of us know it, but we're going to go back through part of it because it's things we need to be reminded of to really get down in our hearts and show us and let us see how little we are really walking with the Word of Almighty God. In Isaiah chapter 53, you hear starting with verse 1, says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He's talking here. This is the prophet Isaiah about something God has given him and revealed to him. What the Lord Jesus Christ was like to be about. That don't sound too appealing, does it? as far as me wanting to live and go through all of that kind of stuff, no. I would if I have to, but it's not something I'd want to do. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Wasn't his own. It was ours. He was bruised for our iniquities. Them bruises is for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He took those stripes for you and I to obtain the healing that we can have today through him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. We know that when they had him up for trial, there was a lot of things asking that he would not even answer to defend himself, because he knew what he was there for. And he knew that there were some things he could have opened his mouth and done that would have caused things not to happen the way they did. But see, that wasn't what he was here for. But how many of us are doing what we're here for today? That's what I want you to really think about. Are you really doing what you are here for today? You see, when God first put you in that womb, you know, we have those that say, oh, well, you know, man and woman just come together and that's why you're here. No, you're here because when they came together, God put that spirit in that. He breathed that life there. That's why no one today has the right to take that unborn child's life except him. He put that life there. And the moment he put that life there, he had a plan for it. The moment you was conceived in your mother's womb, God had a plan right then for you. But have you went to him? Have you been forgiven? Have you accepted him? And have you really brought him and the Holy Spirit into your life today? And are you walking in obedience unto his word? Most are not. They walk every other way. Because they're going by mind instead of heart. And the Lord talks to you now through the heart. So this mind can get you in trouble. Now, you see, we just can't remember all the things that we need to remember, but that's why we keep going over and over and over and over and over. I've had people say, oh, don't you get tired of it? No. Now, if you'd have been here this morning and heard Dennis, you know, Dennis put a good service out this morning. He had a good one. And he let us know that we have to walk according to God's word and not our own way. As long as we walk in our own way or the ways of this world out here, and we keep putting other things between us and God, we're going to miss making heaven our home. And we haven't got long to get our life straight. Because he's coming for his church soon. We don't know exactly when, but we know that it is getting upon us. It's getting close. Because when we look around, we're seeing that everything he told us to watch for has either already happened or is going on right now. And he said, when you see these begin, just begin. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. And when he gets ready, he's not going to play around. He's going to do just like he tells us in his word he's going to do. He's going to come just like a thief in the night. Everybody will be out here doing whatever it is they're going to do. And they'll hear that trump blow. And they'll hear him call his church, come on here. And those that are ready going to change, it said, in the twinkling of an eye. And man, that's quick. And we're going to put on that heavenly body and go on to be with him. We're going to meet him in the air. And we'll go with him then until the end of that tribulation period. At the end of that tribulation period, he's coming back to set up his kingdom here on this earth. We're going to come with him. And we're going to live another 1,000 years upon the earth. Boy, think of that. Think about it. How many birthdays you can have. Never ending. Never ending. Now, but we're told that he didn't even open his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Who is going to carry his generation to others today? It's not being done properly in many, 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 many places. In fact, it's being done properly in very few places. And most of mankind don't want to hear the truth of God's word. If you'll stand and tell me something that's contrary to God's word, I'll listen. Because it makes it easier to live it than it is to keep it as it's written. And you won't make so many mad. Won't be as hard to keep a church full. Because you're not going to be stepping on toes. See, that's what most of your preachers, they worry about, stepping on toes. And if the word's going to walk on your toes, then I'm going to walk all over them. Because I'm going to give you the word. If you want to go away and talk about me, that's fine. As long as you talk about me, you leave everybody else rest. Then I'll just keep right on praying for you. Keep right on loving you and praying for you. Praying that someday you'll wake up and make heaven your home. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You see, God's plan is already laid out even for the Lord Jesus Christ. So why should you and I think any differently about ourselves? He tells us time after time after time as we read his word how he has laid and planned our life for us. We've got to find out what it is and start walking in it, or we're going to miss making heaven our home. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He's got none of his own, but he's took all of yours, all of mine, and all of the world's iniquities, sins upon himself. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And we know he does. I'm one that I am living proof. And I can stand and proclaim his intercession, because he interceded for me and I heard him as he did it. And he let me know too at the time what his plan for my life was. And yet it took me years to get to the point that he really wanted me in. Now, sometimes it'll happen pretty quickly, just as it did with Paul. Saul, he started out as Saul. He met the Lord Jesus. 3 days later, he was a whole man. And had already been made an apostle to you and I. Now, he spent a couple of years out in the wilderness, kind of by himself, because he didn't study from mankind. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit was his teacher. And that's what should be your teacher. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Yes, we go to church to learn God's word. But as we learn it, we also put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Because anything we want to do or talk to the Lord has to go through Jesus. When God's got something for you and I, it comes back through Jesus, brought to us by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He laid it all out. It's all there. That's why we can walk on this life and are. We are to walk on in this life as Jesus walked. So what's happened? Why aren't we seeing more of the power of God today in our churches? Because they're not walking like Jesus walked. And most of them will tell you, you can't. God don't tell you you can do anything that you can't do. Or he won't tell you to do something you cannot do. A lot of us don't believe that. A lot of us, we look at things that God tells us not to do, and we take them as being very small things. But they're not. You know, I could stand up here and tell you, oh, everything will be all right in your life. You're doing the best you can do, so that's enough. But I'd be deceiving you. Because it's not enough until you begin living this word as he put it out. That's why I teach like I teach. He's the one to give it to me. I didn't write this book. He had it done. And he opened it up and let me know that it's truth in it. Now, getting back here into Acts chapter 8, here in verse 5 says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And you see, this is what they don't like. They don't want you really preaching Christ. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. He's packing an awful lot of power here, isn't he? Now, and there was great joy in the city, in that city. But you see, there's always a worm out there. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before times in the same city used what? Sorcery. What is sorcery? That's witchcraft. And bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. He's proclaiming to be a great one because of the witchcraft he's using. I told you about one that I knew. You see, I've known several witches. Now I'm talking about real witches. That was filled with a demon spirit, because that's what witchcraft is. It's demonic. Now, I watched her walk right out on the side of the road, reach down and pick up a handful of gravel, hold it out like that, and watch it burn. That's witchcraft. Using her grandbaby in sessions, or her daughter. Until I went and took that baby out of her arms, because her husband called me and told me what they were doing. I went and took that baby out of her arms, took it out under a tree in the front yard, raised it up and dedicated it to God. You couldn't get either one of them women to touch it. Maybe a long time before they ever touched that baby again. They never used it anymore in their sessions. We got a place right here in this state that is full of witchcraft. Libby, my wife, I've been telling her about it. Because God put me down there for 2.5 years, and I begged him every day, Lord, get me out of here. But he kept me there for 2.5 years, preaching the gospel, even on the radio down there. If you want to know where that's at, that's Tompkinsville, Kentucky. Full of it. In fact, at the time I was down there, I don't know where all are now, because it's been years ago. So when I was down there, there was two things there. Witchcraft and the Church of Christ. And I don't know which is the worst. Because the Church of Christ that was there was leading them all astray. And I mean really leading them astray. A young boy, 12 years old at the time, run across his front yard screaming with his shirt being tore off of him by a demon spirit while he's running. He hit the front screen door so hard, he not only knocked it off its hinges, he knocked it all the way through the front room and into the kitchen. The 12-year-old boy. Once again, the dad called me. I went at midnight to see about the things that was going on. Found out why they was after him. Because, you see, his mother was a witch. He was being raised right around it. And I've been telling my wife about it. Going to go riding on Saturday, one Saturday. Started out really didn't have any place planned on going. Now I got to thinking, well, I've been telling her about what was there. She's never met a witch. I'm going to take her down and introduce her to one. And did. I took her down and introduced her to the one that was using the baby, even. As I was going, as we were going through the house out on the front porch with her husband, she was hollering at me, get out of my house, you ain't welcome here. Get out of my house, you ain't welcome here. I looked at her and I told her, I said, you sure you want to fight with me today? Well, she shut up. We got all in the front porch. The daughter would run to the door every now and then. You ain't welcome here. My mother don't want you here. I told her, I said, you better go talk to your mother. And see if you will argue with me. Let's stop that. But I just stayed in a few minutes. I told Libby after a while, I said, go home, it's time for us to go. And we left. Started out, got down the road a little ways. She looked at me. She said, you know, I've never seen so much hate. I told her, I said, I told you. These are things that happens when we walk away from the Word of God. We let little things, they're little to us, but they're not little to God. When it's something He's told us not to do, He meant don't do it. It don't matter if it ain't a great big sin. He said don't do it, then don't do it. And things will never work for you if you do. Now, this Simon, we know he was using sorcery and bewitching the people there in Samaria. It says, to whom, verse 10, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. See, this is what he was after. He was wanting to lift himself up instead of lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. And to him they had regard, because that a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Why did they send them? They sent them to receive something they hadn't received yet. They had believed, and they had been baptized in water. No, not yet. They were just believers at that point. They sent to them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he had fallen up on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah, they had been. They had been baptized in Jesus' name. But you see, they had to wait, because it all didn't happen all at one time, like a lot of people are trying to tell people today. Oh, as soon as you become a believer, you're automatically filled with the Holy Spirit. No, it don't work that way. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Uh-oh. Now he tried to buy it, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. You see, we've got to stand right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now he's wanting them to pray for him, but he knows his prayer is not going very far. And too many things we let get between us and God. We let family get between us. That should never happen. But I did. When God first called me to the ministry, like I said, because I wasn't preaching like the denomination I was brought up in, my family mocked me. They laughed at me. My mother and dad wouldn't talk to me. Wanted nothing to do with me, because I wasn't teaching the doctrine I was raised in. I was teaching the word of Almighty God, just like I'm teaching today. because my teacher wasn't mankind. You know, I've got an awful lot to thank God for. Because my life, I've got a whole lot happened to me in my lifetime, just like happened to Paul. I didn't get to see him, but I heard him because he was behind me when he was interceding for me. And I was standing before the throne of Almighty God. I stood there. I seen my Heavenly Father. I just couldn't see his face. You see, no man can look on his face and live. He tells you that. It's in his word. And so I could see him from the shoulder down as he was sitting there. And then my Savior went to intercede for me from behind me. Couldn't understand anything he said. But when he finished speaking, that angel that was holding me by the hand and holding me there turned with me and we started away from that throne. And a voice from the throne spoke to me and told me, says, you have 1 year. Then immediately I was right back in the body that had been completely healed. The body that couldn't even turn over by itself when it was put to bed. And in the length of time that it took my wife to fix a cup of coffee, instant coffee with the water already hot, is how quick all that had happened. And God called me into the ministry. I know his power. I know what he can do. But I know he also has his way. And he has his reason. We may not understand his reason. But he does. And he knows why. We don't. We don't. But it's time that we all wake up. And you know, this is the reason that I don't really like saying I'm going to step on a toe. Of course, I stepped on that toe before, so that ain't even new. That's why I don't like to see people church hop. Because for one, the word says not to do it. The word tells you it'll get you in trouble. Because in doing so, you keep being drugged down every time you're in a church where the Spirit's not there. And when you leave, there's going to be a spirit following you. Now, you may be strong enough for a while to stay out of trouble, but sooner or later, you're going to get in trouble. You're a lot better off to find a good church, a church that will teach you God's word, get in it and stay. Stay with it. Because for one, we all need your word. Well, you know, you're one, you don't believe in women preachers. No, I don't. Ain't gonna sit under one either. Because the word says so. He said he didn't call her to teach, nor usurp authority over man. Then he also tells her another place, it's a shame for her to get up there and speak in the church. So you think he's going to turn around then and tell some woman, oh, I'm making you pastor of that church? No, he ain't. And he ain't going to be there either. The Holy Spirit's not going to be there. The Lord Jesus Christ is not going to be there. So what are you going to learn? A lot of stuff you shouldn't be learning. But that's the way things are. And we're told the church is going to fall in the last days. Now, that's another message, and it'll be coming probably pretty soon, pretty quickly. But these are things that God has told us. And he does not tell us to do something and change it. And he don't tell us not to do something and then say, oh, that's all right, you go ahead and do it. He keeps his promises. And he keeps his word. And when he says don't do it, then just don't do it. And walk. Take this word. Take his word. Study it. We need more study. I'm hoping before cold weather sets in to get enough coming to the church that we can start a Bible study every evening, because it is needed. We are to study our Bible every day. God's word, not mine. That's his. It's in here. That and to pray every day. Hebrew children, pray three times a day. They'd always go to a window and look east. Then pray three times a day. You can't tell them, you can't do that. Do that, we're going to throw you in a fiery furnace. They kept right on, didn't they? They kept right on. Well, King done what he said he was going to do. He had them caught, brought out, built that furnace hotter than it had ever been built before. Had them thrown in. The ones that threw them in there were the ones killed. The fire consumed them. A little later he went, looked. He said, you know, we threw three in there. I see four in our walls. Hey, and they're walking around. They come out and didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. That's what standing in the Word of God will do for you. Jesus told you and I, you don't have to be a preacher to do what God wants you to do. He said, all that believe in me, he didn't say just preachers and deacons, all that believe in me, these things I do, they will do, and greater than these will they do, because I go to the Father. So you think you can't walk like he walked? According to him, that's the way you're supposed to be walking. But they're not doing it, for the most part. Healing, yes. I've had healing from my services. I've had one here, even. With what you have got. Had one in Akron. Didn't I? But even in my early ministries, God had me speak to a lady that had been in a coma 4 months. Coma, 4 months. And he said, now, today's her day. Walked outside of her bed. Laid my hands on her head. After I said, hun, tell me what you want me to do. That's what happened. Second time I told her the same thing. One thing happened. One of the ladies in the prayer group had come pray for her every day, every Sunday. They said, oh, wait, oh, she heard me. Okay, and then they said, you know she can't hear you. And they re-answered. Third time, I thought, I said, hon, tell me what you want me to do. Her hand came up off of that bed, laid down on top of mine. Her eyes opened up. She looked up at me, and she said, pray for me. I said, yes, sir. Now I can. I prayed for her. The next day, she was across the street in rehab, getting her legs and all worked off, but she hadn't used her legs in 4 months. But she was strong enough. God had gave her strength and all for her to stand and get her therapy, get her balance and all back. I've had to go talk to preachers. Try that sometime. Especially when you're going to go and tell a preacher he's wrong. Or go preach a message at his church. And you're standing there preaching against everything he preaches for, and see what his wife will do for you. See how much hate you have in that. Well, I've been laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, threatened. But it don't matter. The days I've got left here on this earth, I want to spend it working for him. He is my work. And I don't want anything coming between me and him than to keep me out of his, out and away from his church. No. When I wasn't pastoring the church, I was holding Bible study and all in my home. And was preaching around the world out of my home. And I don't aim to stop now. And he'll put me where he wants me. He'll keep me where he wants me. And I just want more of him. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word this evening, Father, my prayer is that someone that has heard this has needed this message, Father. My prayer is that they have found that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. And that they will go to him, Father. They don't have to come to me. They go to him. Because he is the one that forgives their sins. It's his blood that covers their sins. Go to him. And admit to him their sins. That they are a sinner. And ask him to forgive them. And then to ask him to come into their lives. And begin to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Get into your word, Father. But most of all, to find a church that is teaching your word and not man's, but yours. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them because they're having very little of peace, Father. But even more than that, we pray for all of Israel to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as the land for Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, that has walked so far away, Father, we pray that this land will wake up, come together, get into unity and bring about their repentance and asking for forgiveness for the things that they have done to their people in taking Jesus out of every place he was in, taking the Ten Commandments out of their places, and turning against your people, Father, and wanting to bring in socialism in this day and time. Help us, Father, with all of this. Now, Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch each one, fulfilling whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Pardon me a moment. Got that fluid drainage. All right. James Taylor. Millie and Bobby Johnson. Kenny Powers. Dennis Lee. Terry Coates. James Taylor. Mark Pavlik. Amy's husband, Tom. Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob. Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina. Brothers in Christ at Glory Bound Church there in Irvington. Pastor Randy Johnson, Father, be with him. He lost everything in the flood. The Meade County General Baptist Church. The pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. This young man, Will, Father, he's young in the ministry. Be with him. Fill him with the Holy Spirit, Father, to overflowing. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, in that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father. These churches, not only lighthouses, but make them a place of refuge, Father, to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my three pastors in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, be with them. Keep them safe. Keep them in health. And see to their needs. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo, Sue and David, Payless Goodman, Kelly Smith and his wife, and Karen, and all of our families, Father, may the Holy Spirit work in our families with those that have not yet received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Work with them and help to turn them, Father. Help them to see that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. Now be with us, Father, as we prepare to separate. Now keep us all safe. Bring us all back together again Thursday evening at 6 p.m. for another evening in your word and with you and with each other. Work with us, Father, on the love of Almighty God, teaching us how to love each other and to love mankind. Now, Father, be with us. And we ask this all in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. God bless. Thank you.